There are many reasons why Wisconsin is such a great state, and I would say that one of the reasons is cooperative extension and the many programs and services that are offered through cooperative extension. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm going to find out more about the kind of the history of cooperative extension and zero in on some of the program focuses that are out there today with Rick Clemmie. Rick, a professor in agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison, but he's also dean and director of cooperative extension. With us, just a few weeks ago, we were talking about 4-H.
Yeah, I was here with Dale Lighthizer talking about 4-H and their centennial this year.
Yeah, and that's part of cooperative extension for sure, but there are many other parts of it too. And I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. If you've had some good experiences or otherwise with cooperative extension, most of them are, I don't really hear the bad ones. I only hear good things. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Rick, maybe you can give us the history of cooperative extension here in Wisconsin.
Well, thanks, Larry, first of all, for having me on today. It's a great opportunity for me to talk about this great resource that's part of the University of Wisconsin system. Cooperative extension itself in Wisconsin started in 1912 when the forward-looking people in Oneida County decided that they needed a person who could help farmers and others address the issues of how to farm in some very difficult situation circumstances in Oneida County. Our first agricultural agent was E.L. Luther. You may have seen pictures of him as we celebrated our centennial in 2012 of standing in front of the courthouse there with his Indian motorcycle at the time, and that's how he got around. That was the beginning of a real important part of cooperative extension, is our connect with people across the state in our counties and our tribal nations. As Larry indicated in the start of the show, we are located in all 72 counties. We're on three tribal nations, and we work with other tribal nations as well. We have a number of faculty and staff who have extension appointments who are on the campuses, primarily UW-Madison, but also the UW campuses at River Falls, Platteville, Stevens Point, Superior, Green Bay, and we have relationships with other campuses around the state, and in some cases we're actually co-located with the two-year colleges. So cooperative extension over time has always had the emphasis on bringing the university to the people of the state. I would like to argue that we're one of the best ambassadors for the Wisconsin idea that we have in the system, because indeed we do bring the University of Wisconsin resources and all those resources to the people of the state, and we bring ideas from those people back to the campuses for their research programs.
And I think about certainly the most popular guests I have on my show are cooperative extension folks from around the state.
Might have had one yesterday. Barb Ingham was on either yesterday or the day before. Yep. She is an extension specialist and faculty member in the Department of Food Science on the Madison campus. And she's a pretty regular guest, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. And right? Scott Craven.
Phil Pelletieri. And then, occasionally some of our county educators, Sharon Morrissey, Lisa Johnson, occasionally are on talking about horticulture as well.
Yeah, practically every Friday, I would say, at least three out of four Fridays, there's somebody, a horticulture specialist from Cooperative Extension, on the show. So, yeah. So we have a lot of them. And it's kind of, so we have a kind of a, the structure is sort of a, it's a state and county cooperation, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I guess you could throw a third leg into that in the federal funds
as well.
Yeah. So the cooperative extension, first of all, I should say that cooperative extension is actually part of the UW institution known as the UW Extension. You hear that all the time on public radio and public television because they are part of the division called Broadcast and Media Innovations. We have continuing education, outreach, and e-learning, most notable lately for the Flex degree and their role in that. and we have the Division of Entrepreneurship and Economic Development, probably best known by our small business development centers around the state, and I think in the future going to be better known for the ability to draw on large databases to better understand economies locally so that county governments and businesses can be more strategic and develop prioritized strategies about how to engage businesses locally.
You know, you're touching on something I think that's interesting to me at how much things have changed, perhaps. I mean, the structure is the same kind of structure that we've always had, but the approaches, the topics, the areas have changed quite a bit, haven't they?
Absolutely. We've always had we have a long tradition of even a legacy, which is very valuable to us, around 4-H. We talked about that earlier in this show, and we were on about a month ago talking about their centennial. Of course, agriculture, the ag mm-hmm. agent,
yep.
and the what was used at one time used to be called the home economist.
Mm-hmm.
That's a person who would now be known as a family living educator. And so our programs have evolved over time to work with youth, agriculture, families, and more recently, if 30 years is more recently, communities. And all that work has evolved significantly over that 30-year period. I have a few colleagues that have been around almost as long as you and I, Larry, and that's a long time. We're not going to say how long, that their work in the mid-80s is much different than it is now. Probably no more so than the area of family living, where, you know, I think we had sort of a legacy and reputation of providing education around cooking and canning and clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, canning's kind of a resurgence.
Yeah.
However, the work of family living is going to span into financial literacy, parenting classes, a variety of educational programs that are suited to the demographics that exist in Wisconsin now. And as you all know, from looking at families and working families, that structure is much different than it was 30 years ago. That's just one example of how we have evolved our programs because we had to.
Yeah.
If we're going to have strong county partnership, we've got to evolve those programs to meet the needs of those counties, or else they're not going to chip in a significant amount of money that they do to co-fund our educators across the state.
Rick Clemmie, our guest today, Dean and Director of Cooperative Extension, talking with him about how Cooperative Extension is structured, how it works. We're taking a look at some of the programs. You may be involved in some of those programs, and certainly welcome to join in with your own thoughts and questions or experiences. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and you can post your questions and comments there. So your population, I mean, we always kind of work with the people of Wisconsin, but there, within that, there are several sort of, subpopulations doesn't sound the best way to put it, but there are several audiences out there for co-op.
Well, one of the things we talk about is that we have a purpose or a mission statement in Cooperative Extension that I suppose you could literally drive a truck through. We have programs that everybody in the state can benefit from multiple times during their lives because, in fact, we're about lifelong learning. Whether we're working with youth in the 4-H Clovers or teenagers who become leaders in 4-H or young adults as they become parents, business owners, community leaders, farmers, you name it, there's opportunities for us to engage people at all walks of life. Now, obviously, we don't have enough resources to put on educational programs for 5.5 million people across the state, and we do have to focus and prioritize our work in terms of our capacity to provide educational programs. So it's a mix and match. We are very careful about doing pretty good needs assessments locally so that we're aware of those issues. We build strong partnerships with agencies and other organizations. And one thing we did talk about on that 4-H show was the legions of volunteers that we have in the state. We might be one of the largest volunteer networks in the state, and it's pretty much unknown. Through our 4-H program, lots of adult leaders there, our Master Gardener Volunteer Program, our HCE program, our stream monitoring programs, we engage volunteers because that enables us to provide broader access to the people of Wisconsin to engage our educational programs.
Yeah. Ray Clemmy, our guest today. We'll take some calls now. Again, you could join us at 1-800-642-1234 with your question or comment. And let's go to Nan in Madison. Nan, hi. Thank you for calling.
It's my pleasure. I am an old retired social worker, and I want to compliment Extension for the wonderful work that you've done in the area of financial counseling and financial literacy. I particularly like the financial coaching program and the fact that in Madison you partner with the free tax assistance, because that's been so valuable. And I'm wondering whether you do that around much of the state or whether that's unique to the Dane County area.
That's a great question, and thank you, Nan, for the call and recognizing the work that we're doing on Park Street under the leadership of Deb Niebauer, our family living educator in Dane County. We do a lot of work like this. I think that's probably the most intense program we have around the state. And one of the challenges for me sometimes is to answer a question like that, do you offer this program in every county? We have the capacity to offer programs around financial literacy and coaching across the state. And it's really kind of for our educators in the counties to look at what other resources are available, how can we add value to that. Is it seen to be a broad, widespread program? And I would say more recently, we've also many times engaged our 4-H youth development educators of doing work with high schoolers around a program that we used to call Reality Check, which essentially is a program that simulates a budget process for a household or for an individual. As schools have moved a little bit away from teaching financial management courses on a personal level, this has created an opportunity for us to work with schools and with youth and adults to look at financial programming. Best way to find out what's offered is to engage your local county office and engage your family living educator and talk about the opportunities for financial coaching.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a wonderful service, and I've seen families that have avoided homelessness because of the work that center has been able to do. And again, the tax assistance partnership just shows how much you're an important part of the whole community. So it's a great service, and I hope it continues to get the support that really has paid off, I think, in Dane County.
Oh. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Nan. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Talking today with Rick Clemmy, Dean and Director of Cooperative Extension, about the Cooperative Extension Service. Certainly looking forward to your input at 1-800-642-1234. Questions about co-op extension or experiences, as we've heard from Nan, certainly love to hear those as well at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Carl Christensen, our on-air producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we take a look at the work of Cooperative Extension. Just to let you know, at 11:45, Michael Perry joins us. We're going to be visiting with him about his latest book. But right now, Rick Clemmy, our guest, as we talk about the work of Co-op Extension. Again, join us at 800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Nan had some great comments, I thought, about the cooperation that went on between the county and mm-hmm. the extension.
Yeah, I think Nan brought up a really good point of a collaborative program. In Dane County, The county executive at the time, Kathleen Falk, and Joe Parisi, who's followed her, have been huge supporters of this program. And that partnership with counties is something that's consistent with cooperative extension across the state. They provide funding out of a tax levy for a educational program that is not mandated. This is not a real healthy place to be sometimes, because if you're in a non-mandated program, you really have to justify your existence and be able to talk about a return on investment on that county money. And it's pretty substantial in Wisconsin. The investment that counties make amounts to about 25 or so percent of our total budget that we have from federal, state, and local resources. So I just want to point that out about the importance of that county partnership and how we engage county governments, county agencies, could be health and human services, could be land conservation, could be the court system, could be youth services, whatever it is. We tend to planning and zoning.
Yeah.
We partner a lot with those departments. We add educational programs and value to their programs. they help build our audiences out to a wider access to our programs.
We have a Facebook comment from Deborah, who said Wisconsin Association for Home and Community Education especially enjoys and appreciates the partnerships and cooperation we have with all the UW Extension staff in the counties. We partner with programs, services, volunteering, especially with Wisconsin Bookworms, a very successful early literacy program.
This is a great comment, and I referred to the home and community education as part of our volunteer workforce, and we know how important early introduction to reading is for success of our youth. If you want to, if you want to really engage youth in terms of their learning, it's really important. That's actually a partnership with public television and Cooperative Extension, and that Bookworm program has been a highly successful way of engaging volunteers across the board. So, great comment. Larry, yeah. I want to add one thing. I didn't know I was going to be the opening act for Michael Perry, so I'm indeed honored to be here today.
Okay. And in fact, his latest book is for young readers, so we'll be talking about that some more with him. We have, let's see, Andy up next from Bayfield. Andy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, I thought I'd share with you a little bit of an aspect of the teaching of the 4-H program in a rather unusual location. In 1961, my wife and I were members of the first Peace Corps team to be trained to go into Brazil as 4-H extension agents. We were trained at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. And from Milwaukee and our training complete, we went to Brazil, where for the next few years we served as rural extension agents. And we were teaching home economics, agriculture, and animal husbandry.
And it was all part of extension. And I honestly didn't realize that there was that kind of role at one
Well, actually, that's a role that's been that's not a high-profile role for us, and we have a lot of our county educators and some of our campus-based people who very much get involved in international work. First of all, I think I should note that the U.S. Cooperative Extension System is the envy of the world.
Yeah.
We probably have more interest from other countries wanting to, can you make that work here?
Right.
It's a little bit challenging because in the United States, as I noted earlier, the Cooperative Extension Service is connected to the land-grant university system. So we are part of the university community. In many countries of the world, the Extension Service is part of the Federal Department of Agriculture or maybe a State Department of Agriculture and does not enjoy that interlinkage with the campus. So it's awfully hard to replicate it, this successful model. When we do this. However, as Andy pointed out in his experience over 40 years ago, 50 years ago, that we often have county educators who do work. Right now we have educational programs in Nicaragua, Guyana, Haiti, Dominican Republic, and the list goes on and on. And actually, it's kind of interesting. Obviously, we're adding value by going to those countries, and whether it's about nutrition or agriculture or 4-H. In fact, we had a trip a year or so ago where we had a couple of our people go to Tanzania to talk about building an international 4-H program with our National 4-H Council. Very good experience. And when they come back, that experience enriches them for their work locally. We've had extraordinary support from our county partner, our county boards, for our educators to do this. And I think they see the value of that experience and what it could bring back to Ashland, Bayfield County or Crawford or Marinette or Jefferson, wherever it is across the state.
Absolutely. Well, you know, as an employee of Cooperative Extension, some years back I went to the University of the West Indies in Trinidad and worked in 6 or 7 Caribbean countries. And I think we had some successes there, and I certainly learned a lot and was able to bring back an exchange program that we've now been running for 20 years and pretty successfully. So, I certainly see the value in that international work. We had a and Andy, thanks again for calling. I appreciate it very much. I want to go back to Facebook. Jim in Facebook says, Rick, do you think UW Extension would be even more successful if administrative oversight were under UW-Madison rather than the current combined colleges and UWEX structure?
Somebody knows a lot about our structure to ask that question. Thanks, Jim. It's a great question. Comes up all the time. In most states, the Cooperative Extension Service does operate within the structure of the main land-grant campus, the equivalent to UW-Madison. Might be University of Minnesota, St. Paul, Iowa State, Michigan State, University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, Purdue, and so forth. In Wisconsin, when we established the system back in the 70s, what happened was they decided to group these extension programs together under UW Extension. So I talked about them earlier, Division of Entrepreneurship, Economic Development, Continuing Education, Public Television, Public Radio, were all put together. It's an unusual framework, I agree, and I think valuable because we're actually a bit more nimble to build out partnerships with universities across the system than we could otherwise. The person who entered this on the Facebook also knows that for the last 10 years, roughly or so, ever since Kevin Riley had gone to UW System as president, there's combined leadership in the colleges and extension by a chancellor. We've actually, I think, done well under that environment. We are co-located in Richland and Sheboygan and Fond du Lac counties with UW colleges. We partner locally with them. We're all about access. The two-year colleges are about access. We're about access. All the divisions of the extension are about access to the UW system. Yes, we could work, as many other cooperative extension systems do, in UW-Madison, and that might be good on some fronts. We have, I should say, though, we have a very strong relationship at UW-Madison.
Yeah.
It is the primary partner for us in the UW system. Over 90% of the resources that we share for our state specialists are shared with UW-Madison. So it's very important to us. And I think the counter to that is having the autonomy to work across institutions. The nice thing about being a UW Extension, we do extension.
Yeah. Yep.
We don't really have to compete with the research agendas or the undergraduate teaching agendas. Very important on the four-year campuses. We do extension, and then we can complement those resources through the investment. So obviously, I prefer this administrative structure, yet we know in many other states it does work the other way, and just as well.
Rick Clemmy, Dean and Director of Cooperative Extension. Questions? Give him a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. You know, this day and age, we've got, and this is an argument you probably, or a discussion you probably heard, you can go online now and find information on practically anything, Google it and or whatever, and the proliferation or the ease of access to information is so great, some people might say, well, do we need cooperative extension?
We hear this a lot, and I think actually in agriculture more than some of the other program areas that we have. Every time we have a vacancy, although this is less prevalent now, this was more prevalent 5 to 10 years ago, I used to be able to expect the litany of questions that would come when we'd have a vacancy in our agricultural agent position. There's lots of information out there. They can get it from their nutritionist, their cooperative agronomist, their individual consultant. There's the internet. You can Google anything you want. Why do we need an ag agent? And my usual response to that at the time was, that's why we need an agricultural agent. Because when you just list all that, that means there is a mountain of information out there, none of it necessarily contextualized to your individual situation, that you need somebody who can kind of shape and form that and localize it to meet the needs of that county, of the individual asking the questions. And furthermore, because these agriculture agents are networked with our specialists on campuses across the system, they're able to connect to those resources as well, which means that we're bringing, as we can, Wisconsin-based resources to Wisconsin-based issues. And when we need to, we can draw from other states. I told Larry, as we were just joking before I got on, it's kind of like we're the university version of Angie's List.
There you go. That's a good response. That's a very good response, Rick. Jim James on Facebook says, as a pastor, I used to refer couples planning to be married to the county extension office for help in handling finances. The office in Racine had great printed resources and gave time to couples who had questions. That's pretty cool.
That is a great quote there. Thank you, James, for that quote. I don't know if we get references from pastors and religious communities as much as we used to. However, we do have the resources, as we noted in Nan's earlier question and comment about financial coaching, that we are available for that kind of work. We also provide a lot of financial services regarding the ability to basically do financial management and to higher levels of financial literacy across the state. So often we work with county offices to provide those services. We've actually, you know, sort of the other side of this about to be married, occasionally we have courts across the state who refer couples who are being divorced with children to our family living offices to provide educational programming, because obviously you want to make sure that those children are well cared for and there's a good understanding between the parents about how to do that. So this has actually evolved over time. I remember I talked about changing demographics and making sure we're meeting local needs that are important. So we're really putting children first in that kind of a model.
We have Mary with us from Wauwatosa. So let's go to Mary. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I'm actually a 4-H member from upstate New York. I had the opportunity to do 9 years, and this was even before Clover Buds was an option. I was in leadership programs here. I both was a project leader as well as club leader, and my children went to clubs and the local Milwaukee area projects when they were offered. And I can't speak enough because it gave me direction for my life. I retired out of the military 28 years. My kids, I have two of them now in the military. It's the leadership. It's the focus. It's the hands-on skills. It's learning how to present. I had three of my kids serve in a camp in upstate New York where they helped a lot of children with difficulties, and they just stepped up to the plate where other camp counselors didn't have that competence to help these children. And one of the other things I was telling your telephone person was that 4-H has now been involved on a national basis and the state with really going into helping at-risk youth and helping with the veterans' children. And I know they have a camp, and they're tied into the Yellow Ribbon Program, and that is a big value for our youth, because so many of our prickly guard families are spread all over. They don't have that family support that they do on active duty, and this is tremendous. Yeah. And I really think, and I think it's something should be made aware of, and I also think the finance program ought to come over to the veterans program, because so many of these families struggle and there are no finance specialists in that system. But that's
your thought. Okay. Comment, Rick?
Well, I don't know how I top that. That's fantastic, Mary. Thank you for being a poster child for the value of 4-H in New York and Wisconsin. I appreciate it very much. All the things that Mary pointed out are very important here. When we think of our 4-H Youth Development Program, if I was to have Dale Lighthizer, our program leader, with me, he would talk about this is all about positive youth development. Whether you're in a 4-H a structured 4-H community club, or you're part of an after-school program, you're part of a program looking at robotics and technology and STEM, whatever it is, it's about positive youth development. And Mary was able to talk about what that means as a foundation set of characteristics for a person as they move on through their life. And it just couldn't be better said in what she did. She did touch on an important program that is a new program, which is a collaboration of USDA and the Department of Defense called Operation Military Kids.
Yeah.
That we've been doing in Wisconsin. I think that even they were on here at
Sue
Curtis
actually,
was here. Yeah. Was on here maybe a year or two ago. And one of the interesting things, as Mary pointed out, is unlike a state like Kansas, which has a major base with a lot of families on it, we don't have a base in Wisconsin. We have military families who are spread out all over the state. She spoke of the National Guard. And that creates kind of a challenge for us about how do we specifically serve the needs of youth whose parent or parents are involved in the military. So that's been a growth program for us. Once again, an evolving need, pull together the resources, partner with the Department of Defense, bring those dollars to Wisconsin so we can provide the same kind of experience for those youth that are located in communities might get. And we know that many of those youth are probably engaged in our youth development programs as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Very positive. Gary on Facebook said to please mention the Extension Strong Bones program.
He may have stumped me on this one. I know the Extension Strong Woman program, which might be what he's referencing here. That's a program that has been about basically combining education and physical activity with middle-aged women, primarily. Mm-hmm. Rock County, Angie Flickinger, has been a big leader in that program and has expanded to some other counties across the state. We've had men be part of that program, and it really is about a developing a sort of wellness program. As you know, clearly in this state and across the country, dealing with obesity and type 2 diabetes and a lot of health-related issues is a huge challenge for us. Now, we have a major emphasis through our nutrition programs, through our wellness programs, to be able to try to address those issues as much as possible. And I think what Gary's referencing is just one of the strategies that we've employed to address a problem that is very challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. And another challenging problem, I'm sure, is working with Wisconsin's incarcerated populations. Mm-hmm. You've got a variety of educational programs going there.
Yeah, that's a big surprise to a lot of people. And when you think about it and you understand the backstory, it kind of makes sense. So our family living educators, I talked about how much their programs have changed over time. I bet if I was to talk to some of my colleagues that have been around for a few years, they never really thought they would be teaching parenting skills and financial literacy to county-based inmates.
Yeah.
Why do we do that? Well, the research shows that the stronger skill sets in those areas, on average, is going to lead to reduced recidivism. And if reduced recidivism, that means they're not going back to jail. That means that their families are going to be more intact. Remember, when a parent is in jail, it's not just that person's issue, it's that person's family issue.
Yeah.
And being able to build stronger skill sets for return back to society is a very strong program for us. And frankly, when we talk about county budgets that are very stretched, whatever we can do to reduce the expenditures for incarceration, drug treatment, and other kinds of programs, which are really expensive, we are adding value with our partners in local county health and human service departments and other family serving agencies to add value to these counties across the state.
Yeah, that's a really great program and one that I wasn't all that familiar with, frankly. And I'm looking at a list of programs here, and I'm thinking, my goodness, we got bioenergy programs going. You maybe comment on that for a second, but there's we're supporting biomass economic development in Ashland County, Woody Biomass Initiative, mm-hmm. I think, something like that.
This is a case where we have a educator, Jason Fishbach, works in both Bayfield and Ashland counties, who, because of local initiatives and local issues in an area that needed some revitalization of their agriculture, began to do some work around hazelnut. Hazelnut, as you're starting to see more and more, is available in stores. There's hazelnut butter. There's all kinds of goods. It's a biomass that can be used as a from cogeneration from a power utilities point of view. And this is just one example of how we're trying to bring our resources to address the use of renewable bioresources in our energy stream. And in this case, a very valuable co-product in produce from those hazelnut trees. This is a very interesting area. If you follow the press recently, you know that the increase of wind and solar and biomass energy resources has actually put a little bit of pressure on our utility companies with respect to their income streams.
Yeah.
And so there's actually some talk about rate structure changes and so forth. And we recently conducted a webinar, like I think it was yesterday, where we had over 350 people from around the country, primarily in Wisconsin, from utility companies, regulatory agencies, Public Service Commission, having a dialogue around electric rates. And this is something, again, I didn't know that we would be involved in. It also reflects the fact that our educators are likely to find themselves engaging somewhat controversial topics, bringing civil dialogue,
yeah,
deliberative dialogue techniques, facilitation, to try to bring those conversations together. No more contentious than mining in the North, where we've had some significant challenges about that because it's such a polarizing issue. So especially our community development educators really do a lot of that. And I'd be remiss if I didn't add that, you know, I talked about the legacy of our ag agents.
Yeah.
Agriculture is a $60 billion industry in this state. And our specialists on campus and our county educators add a lot of value to that as well in terms of a wide range. This is one of the most diverse agricultural and horticultural states in the country, following probably only Michigan and California in its diversity. And it's hard to be able to address all those issues for a potato grower, a corn grower, a dairy farmer, a swine producer, a ginseng producer, a cranberry grower. And it's really challenging for us, and yet we've maintained an infrastructure to be able to provide value-added services to that $60 billion industry.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jason Fishbach. He's been a guest many times on the show. He's a sharp guy and really, I think, indicative of the kind of people that Cooperative Extension has working for it.
Yep.
And really great.
I'm going to quote Garrison Keillor here that all of our educators are above average.
Well, people getting involved with Co-op Extension, what's the best way to do that?
Well, I think there's a lot of opportunities for volunteer work by contacting the local county extension office, usually located in a courthouse, usually the county seat of the county. I think that we have some links on Larry's Facebook page that can provide you a connect to the Co-op Extension site. It has a county map on it. You can go right to that county office and see who's there, make those contacts, because we have volunteer opportunities in 4-H youth development, Master Gardener, home and community education, lots of opportunities to do that. And I think to just become more aware of the educational programming that might benefit you as a person, your kids, your family, your business, your farm, your community.
Yeah. Well, Rick, it's always a pleasure. I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it. We'll get you back. Do it again.
I look forward to any opportunity I can get. Thank you.
All right. Rick Clemmy, our guest today, Dean and Director of Cooperative Extension. I think we can all be proud of kind of the work of Co-op Extension and what it means for the quality of life in our state. And another thing we can be proud of is the great number of Wisconsin authors we have, authors like Michael Perry, who call Wisconsin home. Coming up next, we're going to learn about his latest book. It's called The Scavengers. If you think you know what kind of books Michael writes, you might just have to broaden your definition. I hope you'll stay with us here. Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.